Okay, Tov, everyone. We're holding in Teslav Kislev, Siman Chav Ches. We're going from Halacha Aleph to Halacha Yud. Here we go. We're starting off with a major mitzvah called Mitzvah Asay to write a Sefer Torah. There's a fascinating Shagas Aliyah for the ladies that are listening. Shagas Aliyah says that this applies to women too, even though women are Pater exempt from the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, but to write a Sefer Torah, they're obligated. Other Poskim hold otherwise. Al Moshe, I think, was one that also said held otherwise. But the second part of this mitzvah, which we'll see in a moment, to buy sperm, women are certainly encouraged to do so. So here we go. The whole source is based on the pasuk. A beautiful pasuk says, "V'ata kisu lechem sashira azois." Write this song, and Chazal say that really means to write the entire Torah that has in it the song, which is the song of Ha'azinu. Even if a person inherited a sefer Torah from his father, it's still a mitzvah to write his own. A person who hires a scribe, which is usually what most people do today, to write a sefer Torah, or he bought it and there was a mistake and he fixed it, or he paid the sefer to do so, that's considered like writing the sefer. Then that's usually what people do. Nevertheless, it's the best actually to hire a sefer from the beginning. But even if they hire a sefer to write the end, that's considered like you wrote an entire sefer Torah. A person is not allowed to sell a sefer Torah unless it's a sh'as t'chag gadol, which means either that's because it's for the support of a shul or support of a niyim or it's a pikuach nefesh or special situations, and therefore to certainly should ask a shayla before selling a sefer Torah. When it comes to the mitzvah of, we just said, mitzvah of writing sefer Torah. So besides the mitzvah of writing sefer Torah, there's a mitzvah today, especially today, because some places can hold that the mitzvah of sefer Torah today doesn't apply because most of us don't have a sefer Torah that we learned from. So rather the ikkar mitzvah today, and this is the famous prisha, is Shita Saprisha that the mitzvah, ikum mitzvah today is to buy other Sefer Kodesh that you learn from, like Chumashim, Gemara, Poskim, Shulchan Aruch, Musar, everything else. This is a major mitzvah to learn from them and to lend them to others. And someone who can't afford paying for a Sefer Torah, especially now it went up in its expense to buy a Sefer Torah, things like $50,000, $70,000. So therefore, it's very much kedai to buy other sefarim, and you should know you're doing a tremendous mitzvah. Chazal say v'tzidkos emedes ad, that one's righteousness stands forever. And then there's a chasam sefer also says it's an incredible mitzvah. Ein lecha mitzvah gedolah is a lashon of the chasam sefer. When a person buys sefarim and lends them to other people to be able to learn, a person has to respect a sefer Torah. Tremendous respect, and it's a mitzvah to designate a place. We mentioned this, that the ikkar is to have a place designated wherever sefer Torah is going to be placed, not just on the table or something. And a person has to honor that place where the sefer Torah is. He shouldn't chas v'shalom. A person's not supposed to spit in front of a sefer Torah. A person should not hold a sefer Torah without a mitpachas, without meaning something in between. So many times people use a talis in order to fix it, unless a person has no choice. If someone sees a sefer Torah being carried, we read this actually earlier, not so long ago, a person should stand in front of the sefer Torah until the sefer Torah is placed in its place. And in the time of shul, as we mentioned, when the sefer Torah is passing by a person, it's a mitzvah by anyone that the mitzvah to the sefer Torah is passing by to escort it to its place. And similarly, we learned this already, that the Magbiyah and the Goylo also have a mitzvah to escort it. Even other types of Sefer Kodesh, not just a Sefer Torah, certainly a Sefer Torah, but even other types of Chumashim, etc., that are sitting on a bench, you're not allowed to sit on the same bench. I once saw some people that are makeup that's like standing up. I never really found that in Beferish. The Eitzah that the Kitzur says is that if you have it lifted on something that is a Tefach high, there are other places that hold that as long as there's something in between, even if it's a small inch, it's good enough, meaning even if it's a tissue or something, there'll be another eitz in order if you have no choice to be able to sit down on a bench that there's a lot of sif sperm and you can't move them. Also interesting that a person should not place a sefer Torah on his knees and then put your elbows on the sefer Torah. It's not a respectful way to learn. We're not talking about people that are falling asleep in the Gemara, everything else, or even they're leaning on the sefer on the Gemara, because that's and it doesn't show disrespect. In fact, if anything, it shows a dedication to the sefer that you're studying from. You're allowed to sit on a box that has sefer kodesh. They used to have these boxes that the benches would open up. But if there's a sefer Torah inside, then you're not allowed to sit on it. You could place chumashim on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. You cannot place Nevi'im and Ksuvim on chumashim. You could place Ksuvim on Nevi'im and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Basically, there's a hierarchy. And interesting that the Pesachim don't mention here the Gemara at Sudarim, even though I think people are marked with that also. But I don't remember the source for that. The Iker is that a person has to know chumashim go on Ksuvim and Nevi'im. And there is a whole discussion, which we'll get to in a moment, is this only when it was written in actual scrolls, or it's even today, where it's printed, that it still had a dinei kedusha, and the ma'aseh lechatchila, for certain that we treat Sfarim, even if they're printed, that they have a din of kedusha. Sefer Torah that withered, that's called the Sefer Torah Shabbalah Goyin Zinois, you put him in Geniza. Geniza means you bury it. The minhag is, as Meshavah also quotes La Halacha, is that you put it in a klichas, in an earthenware, and you bury it close to a Talmud Chacham, to a kever of a Talmud Chacham. Generally speaking, they actually cover it with plastic or something to make sure that the rain doesn't get to it. And the same thing would apply to the parshas, the tefillin, and the batim, and the straps, etc., and the mezuzahs, that you need to be going as them. But I don't think you put them in an earthenware. Earthenware is dedicated specifically for a Sefer Torah. It's interesting that in the old days, because they had times that they weren't able to bury these, even Sfarim and Sefer Kodesh, they used to burn it. That's where there's a whole Shaila of burning, and that's what the Kitzur here mentions. Sfarim, Kedusha, also the Sofan. Basically, what that means is old Sfarim that a person based and needs is not using them anymore, and they're withered away. They should really be put in Geniza and are not allowed to be burnt. The reason why there's even a Havmit to be burnt, because that was usually because the Goyim used to use it and mistreat it. Now, the Halacha, as we're going to see, that there's all Svarim basically for sure need the Geniza. The real question is, the next Halacha speaks about Yinala Thor Kisri Kodesh Halachas Agadais, which means like Svarim that speak about even Gemaras, etc. And you're not allowed to turn them on their face because it's disrespectful. If you found them upside down, you should place them properly. So that's a good thing to do when you see the sperm that are basically positioned in a way that's disrespectful to it. When it comes to discs and recordings, I saw the Pesachim said it's not a problem at all because they don't really have any writings on it. What's the most famous question is the question of what do you do with these temporary, there's so much of it, you would thought that it would never be, but even more and more of the different types of printings out, printouts that they have for Shabbos, and usually many times 50% of it is actually advertisement and everything else. So there's a big machlekes about this, but there is a Meshiv Davon, and there's an Ein Yitzchak, it's like Spector, who both hold that something that's done really as a temporary basis, especially the example that was usually given was the way that people used to print printouts just to see, to fix the Sfarim. So that was done on a temporary basis, you're allowed to actually throw it away, didn't have any Kedusha. Nevertheless, the best thing is, if it's difficult to put these types of temporary printouts, as long as it doesn't have Hashem's name, if it has Hashem's name, you should put it in Gneza, but otherwise, you should put it in a proper bag, and it should not be see-through, and then discard it in the garbage. A person's not allowed to urinate in front of Sfarim, pretty obvious. But if a person is in stuck, then as long as the Sfarim are above 10 Tfachim, it's like a different Rishus, it's okay. One should not make different types of, let's say, the mappas and me'ilim and all the different things that are made for either the cover of the Sefer Torah or the tablecloth that's on the bima itself. You shouldn't make that from something that was already used for mundane purposes. But the evidence, if you did, it's okay. But certainly, if it was done, if it was, these materials were used for avodas kochavim, it's a problem, even by the evidence. A person's not allowed to use a Sefer for his own benefit. What does that mean? For example, you're learning and you take another Sefer and you protect yourself from the sun. Or you don't want someone to see you, like your teacher. However, if the sun is shining on a Sefer and you can't learn from the Sefer, so then you're allowed to use another Sefer for the sake of the Sefer that you're using, because that's not considered you're doing it for your own benefit. Similarly, you're allowed to put a Sefer on that Sefer in order to raise it, so you should be able to learn easier. So again, that's for the benefit of the Sefer, not for you, which is interesting to Machlokes. And you're not supposed to place a Sefer inside of a Sefer, so you shouldn't have to be able to look afterwards, look at the place where you're learning from. You shouldn't do any sketches and stuff like that on a Sefer, again, because even if you're making, let's say, lines in a notebook that you've not used yet, the notebook doesn't have any Kedusha, so if you're not allowed to use it, you're not allowed to do it on an existing Sefer. don't place papers just for keeps in a sefer, you know, there's sometimes a custom was people used to put the beard hairs in the sefer. It was a Kabbalistic action, but I think today it makes people that find it there quite disgusted and could run into the major problem with the Gemara Maseches Chagiga. A person that's destroying Kisvei Kodesh, like we just mentioned, why do you have to be so careful? Because there's a lot. Loisasun is referring to not doing so, meaning with Hashem's name, Chas Hashem, and therefore, if it's Hashem's name, it's deraisa to destroy it. If it's not Hashem's name, it's psukim, etc. So then it's midrabanan, but you still have to be careful. And that's why the kids points out in the old days, they used to have like when they would make new bindings for the sake for the sperm, for the different types of sperm, they would use sometimes, they would take the old ones and then use it for whatever they want to. So you have to be careful. Let's say you're giving a sefer to be rebound and you're giving it to a non-Jew, make sure to take the old bounding parts of the sefer so they should not misuse it and disrespect it. Have a beautiful day.